Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, having a few technical issues here this morning. In fact, some of you probably can't even hear my voice because you're trying to get in here. If you are, I don't know if you are. All you, listen, here's all you need to do. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle. We had an issue with, I don't even understand the issue, but we had an issue and we've reset it and we're up and working. We've got 61 people who are in the queue right now, so we know we're up and running. You hear my phone going off, people saying, how do I get in? How do I get in? Go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle, and you're in. Oh, my goodness, is that a fire? Everything's blown up here today. It ought to be blown up. Can I tell you why? Because this is the – okay, stop a minute. Everybody stop sending me something. Because this is the day that ought to live in infamy, folks. This is the ultimate infamy day. This is the day when America lost her soul, when America began to go downhill, and when the judgment of God, I think, really began to fall on America. January 22nd, 1973 was celebration of Roe versus Wade. See, I hate to say that, celebration. Is that beeping in my house? Sounds like one of mine. The celebration of Roe versus Wade. Yeah, it's a celebration. Every 47 years, people go to Washington, D.C., and they march and they commemorate the slaughter of unborn children, over 70 million. Probably couldn't even figure out how many that would be. And it's disheartening and discouraging to me to think here we are 47 years later and the church still is unable to do anything about it. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that the church, yeah, it's here. That's going to be going on all day. That's my fire thing, wherever that thing is beeping on me. That after 47 years of baby slaughter, we still can't do anything about it. But Joe Biden comes in, and first thing he does is opens up the floodgates to murder. Why do we love murder and blood so much? It's beyond me. And why doesn't the church hate it? Why doesn't the church hate the slaughter of unborn children? We know the Lord does. The Lord hates it. Why don't we? Yeah, I know it's a battery. I'm not going to. If I changed the battery now, I'd have to get up and walk over there and get a ladder. And I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to ask somebody right now. I don't know who it is. I'm going to ask somebody right now to pray a prayer of repentance for America over the slaughter of unborn children. Who's going to do that for me this morning?
Yep.
I figured you would, Dale. I figured you would. And folks, you know what? Listen, repentance is good, but repentance requires behavior change of behavior. Go and sin no more, Jesus said. So we can repent all we want to, and we can pray all we want to over the slaughter of unborn children. But if we don't do anything about it, the Bible says God hides his face from us. Did you know that? He said, I won't even hear your prayers. I don't even hear you. Stop it already. I don't want to hear it. He said, I don't want to hear it. Your hands are stained with innocent blood. That's why we got all this mess that's going on around us today. That's my belief. So Dan, we'll do the best we can. If my people call my by name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So I'm in a bad mood today because we don't do any of those things. We don't humble ourselves. We don't pray. We don't seek his face and we don't turn from his wicked ways. And we think if we just say a prayer of repentance, and we've done that. We haven't. 47 years. 47 years. And I can tell you this, they're probably already planning for a 48th year of marches next year. They have no intention of stopping it. No intentions. No intentions. Go ahead, Dale.
No. Father, we just come before you this morning, and I know this, that it is the godly sorrow that brings forth the true repentance. God, we have slaughtered the image bearers of Christ. And God, it is where you have said, Woe unto them who suffer these little ones to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Father, I pray in Jesus, Lord, these are those who are robed and clothed under the altar of God, crying out to you for their vengeance of their blood that has been shed in the land. And Father, where there is the shedding of blood, Father God, and no repentance, there can be, Father God, no blessing of God to follow. And so, Lord, we don't want to just give you lip service, but Father, I pray for those in the sound of my voice to actually stand up, rise up, that repentance requires our actions and our abilities to do something about it. And so, Father, I know Isaiah 1 does say, you're not even listening. You don't want our burnt offerings. It says, don't bring those sacrifices. They are just an abomination unto me. He says, our hands are full of blood of innocent babies. And so, Lord, all I can do is pray for repentance for myself. And, Father, I pray for repentance of the church. And, Father, for our ungodly, immoral, Father God, edicts coming down from a court, not a Supreme Court, just a court. Lord, once again, we know we are deserving of your judgment. Lord, I pray that in this great awakening, Father God, Lord, that there'll be a turning from the shedding of this innocent blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm. Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking, our daughter lost a baby. It was four months old, lost a baby. By the way, congratulations to J.R. Harrison, who's going to be a grandpa for the first time. Well, not the first time, but congratulations, J.R. I know how my daughter grieved over the loss, that still does, grieves over the loss of that little baby. How much must the Lord's heart grieve over the slaughter of innocent babies, and we don't even care? We don't even care that the Bible says it grieves him. We have the ability, Christians, to stop the grief in the Lord's heart. That's quite a thought, isn't it? We can stop his heart from grieving, and we refuse to do it. We refuse to do it. I don't want to stay on abortion all day. Michelle, maybe you can come down here and pull this battery out for me in this multi-million-dollar studio. Otherwise, folks, you're just going to have to bear with us. We have Scott Lively with us today, and this is one of those shows. I think it's been put together by the Lord. Scott, if you'll just bear with me, poor old Scott, he just told me he's suffering down in the Florida Keys on vacation today, so he's walking out on the beach. So, bear with us a second there, Scott, if you will. Mike Heath, as you know, people. Mike Heath's running for governor of Maine, and Mike had an opportunity last night to meet with some Republicans. He got a chance to actually, they actually heard him. They actually listened to him. See, I don't know if you've picked this up yet or not. Republican doesn't mean Christian. Conservative doesn't mean Christian. And so the fact that Mike comes in as a Christian, I believe the most famous Christian in all of Maine, when Mike comes in, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a warm greeting. He's a Republican, but, you know, he's one of those Christian guys, you know what I'm talking about. So Mike had the chance to meet last night with a group. How'd it go, Mike?
Oh, Coach, it was awesome because everybody now knows that this problem that this evil that was unleashed on the world in 2020 isn't going to be solved by politics. They're not sure exactly how it's going to be solved, but they know it's not going to be solved by politics or politicians, especially the ones that we're used to. And so they're curious. Their minds are open. They're listening in a way that I've never seen people listen before. And I got a chance to speak for 5 minutes, and I didn't hold back, and it was a home run. I didn't know. But it was so I'm going to do it again tomorrow. In Aroostook County, and then we're going to hit all 16 counties in Maine. This campaign's real. We're going all the way to the Blaine House.
Mike, I told my wife, maybe I think it was her. Somebody said to me, "Is he serious running for governor?" And I said, "Listen, you don't understand. You guys don't understand. Mike Heath is the most famous Christian in all of Maine. He was the head of the Christian Civic League of Maine for 20 some years. It's like James Dobson in Maine." And Mike has been gone from the scene but his name recognition is still sky high. I want you to think about this right now, friends. Let's say James Dobson said he was running for president of the United States. Would James Dobson have immediate credibility or not? Would people say, who's he? Who's James Dobson? No, they would know who James Dobson was. Let me tell you something. The people in Maine know who Mike Heath is. They know who he is. And it's not like he's running in California or Chicago or Illinois or some huge, there's only like a million people in the state of Maine. Only like a million people. And so when Mike Heath throws his hat into the ring, I promise you, there are ripples that are rolling off of that. Folks, believe, take this seriously. But I also tell all of you, when you run for public office, as Scott, Lively has done a couple times, run for governor, it's a platform. And Mike Heath will have the opportunity to speak the oracles of God. Well, we all have to begin to do this, folks. One of the things we're going to talk about here this morning that Scott Lively is going to talk about is we're going to have to, look at me, look at me. Some of you are going to have to run for office. Some of you got to run for dog catcher. Some of you are going to have to run for city council. We're folks, the Republican Party is dead. It is dead. And it's going to see who's going to breathe life into that carcass. Will those can those dry bones have life? We're at an unbelievably exciting time in America where we, the people, really, really do have an opportunity to make something happen. So we'll see how it is. Mike, we're with you. We're for you, Mike. I don't think it's a joke. I have not from the beginning thought Mike Heath running for governor was a joke. Go ahead, Mike.
I appreciate it more than you know, Coach. And I want to say as a pivot or as an introduction to Scott Lively, that Scott and I have been shoulder to shoulder on the front lines of the war over sexual morality for 3 decades. And Scott's never ceased being a source of inspiration for me for the last 3 decades. And I'm just so pleased he's on the show. He ran for governor twice in Massachusetts and did an outstanding job. And Scott's a hero. So I'm not going to take any more of his time.
So here's what happened to me yesterday. If you can, Jared, pull up Scott's website. I think I sent that to you this morning. So we could talk about, I'm having little issues here. I can't see anybody. So please bear with me here, folks, as I try to struggle through here with my beeper car off. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. So Scott sends out an email. You know, we all send out emails. And it showed up in my email box yesterday. And so I read it. Now, I have a history with Scott. I go back probably, 15, 20 years with Dr. Scott Lively. Lawyer, pastor. Scott Lively is the one that said to me, we were standing in some place, Scott, I don't remember where it was. And I told you my son was going to law school, and I'll never forget your reaction. I'll never forget. And I said, hey, Scott, my son's just got admitted into law school. And you said, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, what? I said, what? He says, yeah, they'll destroy his faith. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. And for the most part, you're right, Scott.
There's only a couple of law schools in the United States that have any kind of a Christian context to them. And I went to the one that was the strongest and still is, which is Trinity Law School. That started out when I started, it was called Simon Greenleaf Law School, named after the famous Harvard professor of evidence who wrote a book called The Testimony of the Evangelists, in which he took the assertions of the Gospels and tested them according to the rules of evidence in court to declare that the Bible would be fully sufficient to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. And that was the law school I went to, and other than that, they're mostly temples of secular humanism, like all the public schools are, except the level of propaganda is a little more, a little higher and more eloquent.
Yeah. Well, Scott, when he graduated from law school, when our son graduated from law school, and I started listening to him, I said to him, "When did you become so stupid?" I said, you used to be smart. When did you become so stupid? And Scott, I'm serious, right? They teach law school teaches you to be stupid. Sorry, Roger. They teach you to be stupid.
It's all of public education. It's all because it rests on a false premise, right? The premise of public education is the Marxist evolutionist worldview, that secular humanism is the religion of Marxism. Political correctness is its moral code. The narratives are its scripture, and the whole system of Marxism is an alternative system to the Judeo-Christian order that God established.
Amen, brother.
Scott, turn your camera around. Sorry.
We're seeing the beautiful weather, but we're not seeing you, Scott.
Maybe you got a mask on.
Hey, don't turn it around unless you got a mask on, Scott. We don't want to see you out there violating any federal laws the other day, right?
Well, I'm in one of the few places in the U.S. where you can get away without having to have a face diaper.
Okay. Well, as an agent of the court or whatever, you know, I didn't want you to be violating anything that. Hey, folks, I've thought more and more about what Dale Socia said. If you steal the presidency, you're not a president. You're not the president. Steal my car, it's not your car, right? If you steal my child, that's not your child. The fact that he swore into the presidency that he stole, he's not president of the United States. I'm going to stay with that. So, Scott, listen, your email yesterday, your alert that you sent out really, really, really grabbed me, Scott. Really, really grabbed me. And I'm just going to kind of turn it over here to you to let you kind of go down through it, because it was folks, if we have it in our on the screen. But Jared, if you could put that Scott Lively link into the chat where everybody can download it and read it on their own later on, I think it'd be really, really important. Scott, it really hit me, because here's what really hit me about it. Nobody has a solution. Now, wait a minute. Larry does. Larry's constantly trying to, you know, God bless Larry. I'm not making fun. By the way, Larry had to take his wife to the hospital today, so he's not in here with us. And, you know, JR's working with the Natural Family Foundation. People are trying, you know, they got plans, but nobody really has a plan. And we look right now and our entire political process has failed us. That thank God we now know the Republican Party is as fraudulent as we thought it was. We now know. We now know that there's not two parties in Washington, D.C. There's only one. We now know that Washington, D.C. serves itself. It doesn't serve the people. But nobody has a solution to it. Everybody sees the problem and nobody seems to have a solution. And I was really encouraged, because when I read Scott's proposal yesterday, it really, like it or not like it, Scott, it's a plan. It's a plan. Scott, come on in here. And we have it up. But go ahead and talk to us about that plan, Scott. Let me stop again.
Just very simply.
Scott has run for governor twice in Massachusetts, folks. He's a pastor. He's a lawyer. He's a lot of good stuff, all right? This ain't some fly-by-night flunky. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I actually got my start at the very beginning of my when I was just a baby Christian. I got my start fighting abortion in Oregon. I saw pictures of aborted babies. It changed my life. And I went full time. I even shut down my business to try to stop the killing of the unborn. I didn't join any group. I just did it. I went to the abortion clinics myself. I did what's today called sidewalk counseling. I held signs. And then I found out that Lon Mabon, who had been with the Joe Let's for U.S. Senate campaign in Oregon, had started a new organization called the Oregon Citizens Alliance. And it was organizing believers into what became the most extensive statewide grassroots network of Christians in the history of the country. And it ran ballot measure campaigns. So I learned the nuts and bolts of grassroots politicking, issue oriented. It works just the same for candidate politics. And by the way, Bob Packwood was the godfather of Roe versus Wade. He instituted in Oregon, pushed it through, abortion on demand in 1969 or 67. I don't remember. He was an extraordinarily powerful man. And Joe Lutz, a Baptist minister with no political history at all, threw his hat in the ring and ran against Bob Packwood for the U.S. Senate. And the network that was later called the Oregon Citizens Alliance almost got him in, got 43% in the primary against one of the most powerful centers in the U.S. Wow. So that's my original background, and that's the most important aspect of my credibility for offering this particular plan. That the, along with everybody else.
Hey, Scott, hang on a minute. Let me make you a little bit more credible, Scott. Turn your phone one more quarter, because right now we have to turn our head sideways to see you. Hey,
I don't know what I'm doing. One more.
Can you do one more? Do one more. One more little quarter flip. We're looking at this. Rotate your camera. One quarter. Yeah, there you go. Now we see you. Right. Now you're not upside down on us. Go ahead, buddy.
All right. Well, I guess I'm not as tech savvy as I ought to be.
You need a cross hat. I'll send you a cross hat.
Well, I had one for years and years, and I'm not sure what happened to it. One of my moves, it disappeared. But
okay, we'll get you one. Go ahead, man. Your time's valuable. Go ahead, Scott.
The plan is basically this: we need to take the country back from the ground up. We have been conditioned to going along with this top-down leadership at the federal level that has now assumed powers for itself. We did not delegate to it, and that we think like that now. But there's a 4-point plan now that the entire federal government is in the hands of our worst enemies, right? The hard left. It now has all three branches of government. Really, it's just astonishing. But this is judgment, as you said. If there's any chance of being able to flip it back, the chance is going to be over the next 4 years. Actually, the first 2 years are the most critical. And that is taking the country back from the bottom up. We're dealing with taking the state legislatures. It's the state legislatures that are the closest to the people, that truly represent the will of the people more than anything else. And we've really kind of ignored that for a long time. Every person, in the sound of my voice, every person who's part of the MAGA movement or considers themselves a genuine constitutionalist, a Christian conservative, needs to get out of their chairs and run for office. From now on, it's every seat, every time. I call it reset. Run every seat, every time. Don't use campaign consultants, because their purpose is to get you to compromise your values so that the GOP elites can control the field. They want, and don't let them tell you that you only run if you think you're going to have a realistic chance of winning. No, let's throw that advice out. That is designed to keep the elites in control of the field. We run en masse. Everybody take a seat, pick a seat. Without any expectation of winning or even showing well. You don't have to. What you do is you pin down the other side, you make them spend money, and you learn the basics of electioneering, the nuts and bolts of running a campaign, and we build a farm team for being able. What's the reason that Donald Trump had nobody that he could put in the positions of power that was actually loyal to him? Some of them were. But how many rats have come and gone through the Trump administration? It wasn't his fault. It's just there wasn't anybody to put in there that had any background, that knew how the machine worked. And that over the long run, that has a shame. In the short term, the goal is we take the state legislatures. We take 3/4 of them. That has to be our goal, because once we have done that in 2022, right? And don't even focus on taking the House. I mean, yes, we include that also, but your main focus is on taking the legislatures of 3/4 of the states. Because in 2023, after we've done that, we use the secret weapon that the founding fathers put in the Constitution, which is Article 5, Option 2, which is the Convention of States, right? Now, this is not the constitutional convention that all the conservatives are conditioned to get a knee-jerk reaction about. The Constitutional Convention was under the Convention of States, right, or the Confederation of States, which was the name of our government before it was called the United States of America. And the Constitutional Convention that gets bashed all the time is not the same thing. There has never been an Article 5, Option 2 Convention of States ever held, right? All of the amendments to the Constitution have been done by the first option, which is the House and the Senate of the U.S. Congress initiating the change to the Constitution. But the but two-thirds of the states can hold a convention of states, and they can do anything that they want to in this in within the scope of their mandate from their voters. And once that constitutional convention, that convention of states, I got to make sure I use my verbiage here right. Once the convention of states is open, then the power of the federal government can be stripped from them. All the things that they have assumed in terms of authority that we didn't grant them, that can all be stripped.
Scott, let me think for my audience here, because I hear them and they're saying this. We've done this before. We had the Constitution Party. We had the Patriot Party. We've done this. It doesn't work, Scott.
No, we've never done this. This has never been done in the history since 1789, when the United States Constitution was adopted, right? And we became known as the United States of America and no longer the Confederation of States. That Article 5, Option 2 has never been used. This is not talking about a political party. And I actually hope President Trump does not start a new political party, at least not until after this plan has been completed. We need to take over the Republican Party. All it is a machine, right? It's guns don't kill people, people kill people. The Republican Party isn't treasonous and rhino. It's the elite creeps and scumbags that are running it. That's the problem. We take it away from them. We get back in the driver's seat, and then we run the car in the direction we want it to go. That's what we have to do. If we start another party, yes, there are some pros and cons, but I think that this strategy wouldn't work, because we would be giving the Democrats would have an advantage in running against a split party, against two different parties instead of one. They would get the automatic majority. But anyway, the plan is that we hold an Article 5, Option 2 convention of states. We strip, we restore the federal government to what was bequeathed to us by the founding fathers. We add amendments that would include term limits, election integrity, balanced budget, and last and most delicious is we strip the Supreme Court of the ability of any jurisdiction over what we decide in the Constitutional Convention, because the Supreme Court, like the other branches of government, are subject to the Constitution, and the Constitution belongs to the people. It does not belong to the government. And if the people take it back, then that's really the only solution. If we don't do that, this Marxist state that began yesterday in this country is going to achieve a level of suppressive power that all of our efforts are going to just be null and void.
So Scott, you talked about building a farm team. You're talking about people in this queue, the 100 people that are in here right now, and the hundreds and maybe the thousands that are watching. We're going to have to get our hands dirty, our knees dirty, and we're going to actively get involved in running for office. But the average guy, like Joe Silver, I'm looking at Joe Silver right now. He said, "I can't run for House rep, or you know, state house. Nobody knows who I am, and I. What am I? How can I?" That's a real issue, Scott. That's a real issue. But you're saying we don't have to win initially. We don't have to win. Explain that a little bit more, Scott.
I ran twice for governor of Massachusetts. The first time I ran to break out of the Saul Alinsky box that they had me in. I mean, I was living in Massachusetts. I had a lawsuit had been filed against me for crimes against humanity. Totally ridiculous, but it was a corrupt federal judge that allowed it to happen, and then kept it open for 6.5 years. And the left was poisoning the jury pool against me, because they had control over all the media, and they were spinning this narrative that I was a hateful bigot that wanted to exterminate homosexuals. And there was no way to break out of the box, right? That's the Saul Alinsky method. pick a target, freeze the target in place, then destroy them in front of everybody as an example so that nobody else will follow along what you did. And so I ran for governor the first time for that purpose, right? Just to break out of the box. And it worked, because once people had the chance to hear from me speaking my own ideas, my own beliefs in my own voice, all of a sudden everything changed. It broke the box, and I eventually won that lawsuit in large part because of having done that. But the second time I ran, and I never expected to do it again after the first time. I wasn't running to win. I ran a part-time campaign. I spent about $25,000. I told people that I didn't expect to win. I just wanted a platform. And then my running mate was a homeless Black woman who worked in our mission, who was a volunteer in our mission. And we called ourselves the Miracle Ticket, because it would take a miracle for us to win, an even bigger miracle for us to want to win, right?
That's
the
right.
Second time, right? After saying, I'm never going to do it again, don't need to. Charlie Baker, the ultimate rhino in the United States, the governor, he was in the paper promising Planned Parenthood to replace with state tax money any funds they lost as a result of Congress punishing them for their involvement in the baby parts harvesting scandal, right? And when I saw that, I said, somebody's got to stop this guy. Somebody's got to – and I knew that Charlie Baker was being groomed to run against Trump in 2020 as the Republican voice of reason in the primary. And that he was in league with Elizabeth Warren. And the belief at that time on the left was that Warren was going to be able to take the presidency, be the first woman president, and then Charlie Baker would hurt Trump in the primary. Then, of course, he wouldn't win the primary, but he would get national name recognition, and then he would fold into the supposed Warren administration as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, right? And yeah. So when I primary Charlie Baker, I killed that. The national media was already touting him as the most popular governor in America, but Scott Lively was the worst pariah in Massachusetts. I didn't have the benefit that Mike Heath has of having favor among the Christians in a somewhat conservative state. I was the pariah, the man to hate in the deepest blue of the state, even worse than California. When I ran the second time, I ran to win, right? And I didn't expect to win, but I ran to win. I had a historic victory in the state convention, which had always managed to keep the conservatives out. I got 27.6% of the delegate vote, blew them away, and then got 36.1% of the vote in the primary. It killed Charlie Baker's ability to run against Trump.
Amen.
It destroyed the idea that he was the most popular governor in America. And it showed everybody in Massachusetts that you do not have to let the media decide for you what reality is.
Amen.
Right? And it showed every single person who's listening to my voice right now, anybody can run for office if you meet the basic qualifications. And every single person who has the mindset, if you're in Coach Dave's audience, if you're connected in any way with Coach Dave, you're exactly the kind of person who needs to be running for office instead of these spineless, wimpy people that will allow themselves to be turned into puppets for the people who have the money and who control the machine, the Republican machine.
So Scott, it's simple, right? School board, city council, county commissioner, dog catcher. Somebody's going to get elected to these positions, and we have got to begin at the grassroots to occupy us. Scott, we got a couple people want a question. Rochelle, come on in, and then RJ. Come on in, Rochelle.
Good morning, Mr. Lively. Thank you for tuning in. I was wondering, I don't know a lot about the political offices, but what would be the best one as far as the looking at our elections issue? Is there a Department of Election position that would be a ground kind of level?
Yeah, how do they find out what offices there are, Scott? That sounds like a stupid question, Rochelle, but I believe a lot of people say, how do we even begin to do this? Go ahead, Scott.
Just every state has a website with all that information. they have in Massachusetts, even at where I was, there's a handbook on how to run for office. You know, use the basic tools that are available for doing your own research on what's going on and what the offices are, how you qualify for them, and then just pick something. Now, the election,
including Central Committee, right, Scott? Central Committee, those are the ones.
Committee is a party. Look, this is a bit nuts and bolts of politics, right? There is the election system of our government, right? Either the state government or the county government or the national government, and that is that's sort of like that's the canvas on which we draw, right? But the parties are just organizations of people who want to have a greater opportunity to run things the way that they want them to be run. So a political party is a different, it's a machine inside of a machine.
I get it.
And then and it's the Republican Party or the Democrat Party that has a central committee and all that. Those things are locked up tight, right, by the people. It's like Philadelphia. Think about Philadelphia when it comes to party politics. Both the left, both the Republicans and the Democrats control the rulemaking functions and the money dispensing functions very tightly. You're not going to get into that circle at the beginning. But what you want to do, if no one is running, is going to run, take on the state legislature position first, right? That's what has to happen by 2022. If we don't take the state legislatures by 2022, I don't think there's going to be any chance. I don't think we're going to be able to take it back. But assuming that that there's a chance of doing that, that's number one, state legislature. If someone more qualified than you that has backbone just throws their hat into the ring at the same time, you run alongside them until it comes time until your presence there would be a would siphon votes away from them, right? You were act strategically. But go into the race deciding, I am going to learn the nuts and bolts of elections by on-the-job training, right? I'm not going to worry about how much money I have. I'm not going to worry about what my prospects are. I'm not going to worry about how many votes I get. I'm just going to get in there and I'm going to learn this process. I'm going to tell people that's what I'm doing. This is what our country is about, right? And so
let me get a couple folks in here, Scott. RJ, come on in, then Jack.
All right. Hey, Scott, I've been watching you for a while from here in Oklahoma. I guess two questions. You may have followed Shiva Ayyadurai there in Massachusetts in his Senate race. And of course, he ran into the corrupt machine that stole his primary victory. And what Rochelle just asked you about is a key, because she's asking if there's a place in the whole apparatus to get loyal people. And the problem here is exactly what we understand President Trump tried to do and what he has done. We believe he has dissolved the corrupt statutory 1871 government. Now, has that been done at the state level yet? I don't believe it has. And it's going to be key. See, these are all government service corporations. They're all unlawful according to the original design. So we need to get with the existing loyal legislators who all the ones that fought the fraud and the vote count. Mastriani in Pennsylvania, Nathan Dom would be here in Oklahoma. They understand this, and we need them during this term to dissolve the state corporations and reorient as a trust, not as a corporation, and then go to the Electoral Commission, make sure we set that up. So
RJ, listen, you're on page 12 and we're on page 2. I agree totally with everything you're saying. We're talking about just trying to train people, first of all, to get involved in the process, get their feet wet, and begin to infiltrate the system. I'm not being rude, RJ. I agree with everything you're saying, but that's not I just want to move on to something else. Go ahead, Jack. Jack, come on in, then Jeff Klein.
Okay. Mr. Lively, I thoroughly agree with your strategy. It's absolutely imperative that we get good people to run. But two things. Number one, you have to be able to count the votes. If you don't start there, you're never going to win, because we're not counting the votes. It's all manipulated. So we got to start there, and that's the local level. Number two, I absolutely disagree with your assessment of convention of states until all the states are operating constitutionally. The federal government is the child of the states. The states authorize the federal government. How can an unconstitutional state demand constitutional compliance at the federal level? So as soon as we all get together and fix our states, I'll be on your team. But
okay,
until
Jack, you're on page 11. You're on page 11 too. We're trying to get people involved. We're trying to get them involved. I want somebody who wants to talk about page 2. Jeff, will you talk about page 2? Yes. Yes, sir.
Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. I could just tell you what I'm doing here. There's a group here called Concerned Citizens of Mount Airy, and they are all anti-maskers. Okay, that's their premises. Masking is manipulation. Take off the mask. That's the foundational starting point locally. Gathering businesses who reject the mask mandates, gathering all these people together. So I'm going to go there on the 26th and go to that meeting. And they're going to city council meetings, and they're doing those things. And then the next step is these people are the political party, I think, right? I mean, you guys tell me. These guys are kind of the anti-masker party. And then you run and get your city to reject the unlawful orders. And then you get your county to reject the unlawful orders. And then you get your state to reject, so on and so forth.
Hey, Jared, thank you. That's page one. Page one. Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me go back, Coach, and just respond to the previous caller's comments that he's not in favor of a convention of states until the states are in the hands of genuine constitutionalists. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Taking control of 2/3 of the states with strong Christian conservatives, MAGA patriots, right? That's what I'm talking about. And I am absolutely 100% against any tinkering with the Constitution, as long as there's any chance of the enemy being able to hijack the system. And the only way you can prevent that from happening is if we're the ones who are in the seats of power, brother. That's it.
Listen, Scott. I see in the comments people are saying until we do away with the Dominion voting and yes, how are we going to do that if we don't occupy those positions? And it starts locally. We have to say locally, hand ballot locally. We have to get in positions of power to make that happen.
That's the one piece that I haven't brought into the plan. Is that the theme, the single theme that we unite everyone on in the 2021 municipal and the 2022 state elections is voter integrity, election integrity. That's the issue. So that all of our candidates are running as number one most important issue is election integrity, counting the vote right. Having genuine policies for preventing voter fraud, all of those things that become our issue. We pin the other candidates down on this. Everybody, all the voters are going to care about this, especially our voters.
Amen.
And that's how you deal with the problem of voter fraud in 21 and 22. You make that the issue. That's what you're running on.
Folks, listen, if we don't get involved, those issues will not change. Don't you see that the system is set up so that those who are already in power will remain in power? We have to get in power and say, we're going to change this. We're going to go back to paper ballots. We're going to change this. Only then can we begin to effectuate change. That's what we have to do. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, I hope this will be page one.
Okay.
Here's a little scenario for you or Scott, either one that can answer it. It's like the last time or 2 years ago when I ran for county commissioner.
How many
60,000.
Jeff, you run for office, what, twice? One time? Just once?
School board and county commissioner,
okay,
two different times.
Okay, so you got some bona fides. Go ahead.
Okay, so in that last election for county commissioner, 60,000 votes. And 25 years of coaching kids in the community, I know a lot of people. But 60,000 votes, only 6,000 were cast. The guy that won had 2,400 votes. The other three of us that run each had 1,000. I've got people saying, and now run again, run again. But when I ran, it was all in Christian values, and I blew it wide open. I didn't follow the political speak and all the crap. I said what I wanted to say, and people loved it. So now, like this last election, when Trump, the votes were coming in that night, I sold 15,000 Trump flags in Mount Vernon out of my car lot. The Republican Party was buying them off. They called me into the office that night and said, will you come in and lead our group in prayer for the election for Donald Trump? I said, gladly. But now what do I do? Do I drop the R and go with an independent? Do I stay with the
Republican infiltrate Party?
You know what I mean?
Infiltrate.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep. And infiltrate.
Yes.
Well, let me just say that's really that's the answer. That whichever way Donald Trump goes, we need to follow, because there's no greater unifying force in the whole country. And that and let me also say that, and I've been a pastor for a long time. I have been a champion of the biblical worldview and of Christian social and political activism forever, since I've been a Christian. And I tell you, I have never seen a field more ripe under harvest than the MAGA movement. Right? Who are these people that came out of nowhere? You know, waving flags and shouting "We love you" to Trump and all that. Who are they? Right?
They are. We haven't seen them in church.
And the grandchildren.
Yes,
Christian
they are.
Christian households and retain the fundamental values of patriotism and constitutionalism. They are ripe for evangelism. Not as evangelifish, right?
Evangelical
churches to get a hold of them. We want to stand side by side with them. We want to stand shoulder to shoulder with them, and through lifestyle, show them that the very things that they care most about are grounded in the scripture, and that we understand that our duty as Christians is to be involved in advocating those things and defending them in all the spheres, right? All the spheres, in business, in politics, in commerce, everywhere. There's no aspect of human life that's outside of our duty to be stewards. And that's what my
we've let them define us, Scott. There's no doubt about it. If you run as a Christian, we have let them define us, and it's time that we were unashamed and come out of the box, because those people, those MAGA people, they are on our side. They know the system is broken. As Mike Heath said, they know it's not working, and we have to provide an alternative. We can't just continue to throw tomatoes at the Republican Party. Come on in, John Diamond.
Hey, can you hear me, Coach?
Yes.
I want to give a little bit of page one stuff for anybody who's looking to get active. You're really going to have to do some investigating into your state. Now, I ran for I attempted to run for governor of Pennsylvania here as a member of a Constitution Party. The Democrats and the Republicans only need 500 signatures on a petition to get on the ballot. The Constitution Party needed 25,000. We filed a lawsuit with the Green Party and the Libertarian Party, and a judge knocked that down to 5,000, but still.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Getting 5,000 signatures is almost impossible. It's not fair. As a matter of fact, it's unconstitutional, because we're supposed to have equal protection under the law. Can you imagine saying that, okay, hey, if you're white, you only need 500 signatures, but if you're black, you need 5,000? Everything should be absolutely legal. And that's why the judge knocked it down to 5,000, because he knew it wouldn't muster the test under the Constitution as far as the due process and equal protection laws. So you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision right off the bat.
Hang on a second, John. I'm with you. You're on page 7, okay? We're talking about people running for school board. We're talking about people running for a city councilman. We're talking about people running for very, very – I understand the point you're making, and it's very, very valid. But we need to begin – see, I'm not going to run for governor. I'm going to run for county commissioner. I'm going to run for state rep, something like that, okay? So, John, I'm not criticizing you. Right? What you're saying is absolutely true. We're going to scare people off. All right. Y'all with me. I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate it all. All right, folks, We're sticking our toe into the water. We don't want to scare people not to stick their toe in the water. I'm not going to run for president of the United States. I can't win, but I might be able to win county commissioner. I might be able to win school board.
Coach, let me interrupt you, Coach. Yeah. Let me interrupt. Because my plan, I mean, those are good general principles, but my plan is the only way this plan can work, and the only way we take our country back, it has to be the state legislatures this time. You know, keep that thought in mind in any other election. But it's the and if someone else is already doing the state legislature race where you are, then go ahead and pick something else, right? But don't run for governor. Don't run for city council. Don't run for any of these things right now. If there's an open state legislature seat, if there's a Democrat that's running unopposed, if there's a rhino that is running in the race that doesn't represent our values, that's the number one place to go. And so the general advice of being involved is great, but we've got a very short window to be able to take it back. This is if they're starting right now and locking it in, right? This is what they do. How long did it take for the Bolsheviks to take total control of the Russian Empire, right? After they got in, it took them a while, right? And there was a window of opportunity that something could have happened then, and it didn't. That's where we are right now. We can't play the long game right now as our primary. Yes, we keep those things in consideration for our secondary motives and our secondary goals, but our number one objective has got to be taking the state legislatures back so that we can then have a constitutional convention and strip the power away from the feds. If that doesn't happen, all this is moot, right? That's my point.
I'm with you. But at the same time, Scott, I'm trying to build a farm team.
That's true. That's true.
Some guys can be school board members. Some can.
Let's stress for this election cycle. Yes, and right now there's municipal elections coming up in 2021, right, that people can run for. And assess your own how far you want to set your sights for. But make it number one priority has got to be the state legislative seats, and pick one, pick a legislator. Of course, you have to live in the district. Now, if you do live in the district, if there's a Democrat running unopposed, go for it, man. Pin them down. Make them spend money. You know what these guys do? What these professional politicians do is that if they get themselves into a seat, and then if they don't face real opposition, then what they do is they spend all their money getting their friends in other districts, right?
Yeah.
If you don't make them defend their turf, then you leave them free to fight against you on other turf, right? So then make them defend the turf, make them spend money, and who knows if all of us are running for stuff, right? Some people are going to win just by accident, just because somebody dies or gets taken out in a scandal or something, right? And then, you know, the Lord may just bless you and say, okay, you're it, right? That's it. But don't run with the intention, right? Run as if you could win, right? Don't get caught up in the goal of winning, and because that is that's a
hey, listen, don't be afraid to lose. Don't be afraid to lose. Come on in, JR.
Yeah, Coach, I think what you're trying to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we have to have a foundation. What Scott's saying is right, but you have to have the foundation in place first. That foundation happens at the local level, at the city level, at the township level. That's got to be done first. Now, I'm trying to do that now, but I can tell you I'm still getting resistance. People, I mean, this is crazy. People are not awake enough yet. It's so discouraging.
Yeah, but Jim, we have to position ourselves for when they do awaken.
I haven't stopped. I'm saying it's just going to find that there aren't enough people awake yet.
Yeah.
Well, it has to happen at the local level. The local level.
Listen, can I be honest with you here? This has been kind of chaotic this morning, but it's a good first step. It's a good first steps, because we have people. I've run for public office three times, I think. Never won. Smarter every time I ran. I got smarter. Listen, folks, to tell the truth, Mike Heath yesterday, I'm not talking out of school. We had a meeting last night with Mike Heath, and I said to Mike Heath, Mike, here's your platform. Here's your platform. Quit trying to get those to vote for you who don't agree with you ideologically. Don't do that. Just say, you know who I am? You know what I believe? I'll do what I say. Just that. Run on that, Mike. Just run on that. Don't try to compromise who you are. You know who I am. You know what I believe, and I'll do what I say. That, to me, that is where the whole thing starts, right? And if you do that and you're honest and you're upfront, you will begin to have an impact. People are sick of the political environment that we're in. Will you win this time? Maybe not, but you might win the next time. Scott, you kind of wrap it up here for us.
Yes. Well, I think that the level of urgency for the 2022 cycle has never been higher. We have lost the country right now. We have lost the United States of America. We have become a Marxist dictatorship at this point. It's some form of Marxist government that's taking shape before our eyes. It's gone, folks. But there's a short window of time to claw it back. And the only mechanism that's available for us to do that is Article 5, Option 2. If we don't use that option, it isn't going to matter. It isn't going to matter how many offices we have, city council or whatever. You know, you might be able to be of some benefit, but they are going to expand their control over us day by day from this day forward. And if by 2 years from now we haven't fundamentally changed the way we do things, and if we haven't started taking it back from the ground up in a serious way, and with the intention of doing a constitutional convention to stop them to reverse what they've done, then none of it's going to matter. Really.
Let me just throw this out there. JR, you can appreciate this. Scott, here in Ohio, he's a tyrant with masks and all that kind of stuff. And why is he able to get away with it? He's able to get away with it because the cowardly state legislature won't stand up and call him to account. We need to have people in positions where they will stand up and speak up. And right now, we don't have that here in Ohio. You agree, JR?
Amen.
Yeah, and let me just say this in closing, that when you run according to this plan, you become the voice for the MAGA movement, and you concentrate the firepower of all the 75-100 million MAGA people that happen to be in your area. You concentrate the firepower down on whatever target you pick, right? Just by being in the race and advocating the MAGA agenda, you automatically have a vast number of people that, whether they're out in the open about it or not, that are going to be in your corner. And they want to go after these guys.
They do.
MAGA wants to eat these rhinos for lunch.
I want to eat them. Joseph,
create the opportunity. Be the person who's out there. Be the spotter, right? The guy that out there with the laser pointer saying, that's him right there. Get him. Right? That's
amen.
What
the, that amen. 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 Come on in, Joe Allen, real quick. Joe Allen and Kevin Van Story. Go, Joe.
The biggest issue I see come down the pipeline is forced vaccine.
Yes, sir.
There's the news.
There's something to run on. There's something to run on. Kevin Van Story, go.
I've got a ScottLively.net. If you go to Scott under First Century Ministries, we have a doctrine against mandated vaccines that you can sign and register as evidence of a sincerely held religious belief that is your strongest defense to attempted mandated vaccine. That's there available for anybody to sign up to. It's not a guarantee that you're going to be able that government is going to honor your constitutional right. But it's the number one strongest defense, Scott, that you have against their attempt to mandate it on you.
We're out of time, Scott. Let me get Kevin in here real quickly. Come on, Kevin.
Well, Dr. Lively, you just answered a question I was going to ask. I actually ran for U.S. House of Representatives just this past fall. And as a Republican, and I could not beat the establishment. So one of the things that I have a serious concern about is the Dominion machines, and unfortunately we found out in Missouri we have those Dominion machines. As far as the rest of that, you talking about focusing on the MAGA. That is actually, when you said that, it's just like the light bulb just went off in my head. So I'm going to be doing it again, but I had been contemplating running as either a constitutional or a Patriot Party candidate.
No, MAGA Republican.
So stay
no,
with, Republican, stay as a Republican.
You're a MAGA Stand. Republican, brother. You're a MAGA Republican.
Yeah. Take it back. And then, and one other thing here too, is that a state legislative race isn't that big. You can make a list of all the voters in there. You can, if you get your grassroots team, that's the other thing, is grassroots. That's what Swamp Rangers is for at scottlively.net. Join Swamp Rangers. We're organizing this network nationally. That what you do is have your workers out there. You do the door-to-door canvassing and identifying of voters so that when it comes time to vote, you know how everybody's going to vote. You know who lives where, right? You know. You have all the addresses where all of the voter fraud has been done in the past with absentee people listed all at the same address. That stuff is nuts and bolts, easy stuff. You just need grassroots legwork to do it. So it won't matter. You can counter the election fraud up front if you do the legwork in advance so that when they try to pull it off on election night, you've got them cold. Because you've got people, you've got monitors outside of the polling places with video cameras, right? That you're and a team that's meeting afterwards and comparing the videos and pointing out the people that are voting multiple times, right? If there are ways to prevent the voter fraud, even when you know they're going to do it, right? You can't prevent it. You can prove it. There are ways of proving it that we just haven't ever done before.
Scott, the Bible says that evil men walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Folks, we can gripe and moan and complain. If we are not willing to get involved and get our hands dirty, we are not going to win this fight. It's time the church, come out wherever you are. Christians have got to get involved politically if we're going to win this battle.
Ground up grassroots activism is the answer.
Amen. We got to do it. Scott, we got to run. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. Scott, we'll have you back. Your plan's not perfect, but it's a plan. It's a place to start. Hey, Chad Estes for sheriff. J.R. Harrison, run, run, run. See you on Monday.